Amen. You may be seated. Well, I invite you now to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, we're going to take a few moments this morning to look together at God's Word, and we'll make our way together through Psalm 145. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this beautiful psalm together this morning. Psalm 145. Dear brothers and sisters, what you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full attention to it. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good for us on Thanksgiving Day to turn our attention together this morning to the book of Psalms. Calvin once said of the book of Psalms that it is an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. And by that, he simply meant that in the book of Psalms, we find every emotion known to humanity. Emotions of sorrow and of joy, emotions of grief and of laughter. Every emotion known to man is recorded for us here in the book of Psalms, and certainly that reflects our experience, doesn't it? It reflects our experience on the pilgrimage of this life. Where do we turn in times of sorrow? Where do we look to still our troubled souls? Where do we go when we need our hopes restored? So often, we go to the book of Psalms, because here we find words that resonate with our souls. Here, we are reoriented once again towards God. Here we are brought back to the very thing for which we were created, to praise God. In fact, the book of Psalms in the original Hebrew is actually given the title Book of Praises. And that's the title that's given to Psalm 145. It is a song of praises. It's actually the only psalm in the entire book of Psalms that's given that title. A song of praises. And you see in the title that this is a psalm of David. In fact, it's the very last psalm of David in the book of Psalms. It comes from the pen of one who was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel, the sweet singer of Israel. David pens many of the psalms that are recorded in the book of Psalms, and this is his last. It comes to us from a man who has written many psalms, probably written late in his life. It's a psalm that is exquisite in its beauty and also in its structure. In fact, Psalm 145 is an acrostic. That means, very simply, that it's organized according to the alphabet. The first verse begins with the Hebrew letter A, the second verse with the Hebrew letter for B, and so on and so forth, all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. It's divided into two parts. In verses 1 through 13a, there are repeated calls to praise God, followed with reasons to praise Him. And then from verse 13b through the end of the psalm, we're given reasons to praise God, followed by a call to praise Him. And so in the first half, praises followed by reasons. And in the second half, reasons followed by praise. And we want to look at those together just briefly this morning. In the first half, we have praises, calls to praises, followed by reasons to praise God. Look at verses 1 and 2, the first call to praise God. David says, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." And here is David calling upon himself to praise the Lord. He's speaking to himself here and saying, "O my soul, bless and praise God. Praise my God and my King." David, of course, is the king, and yet he understands that his great calling in life is to praise the great King. This is the very thing for which he has been created, to praise God, to praise the great King. And so he calls upon himself here to praise and bless God's name every day, forever and ever. He envisions himself praising God forever and ever. And then in verse 3, he gives the reason for praising God. "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." God is great, and therefore we are to praise Him greatly. His greatness is unsearchable. "Try as you might," David says, "you cannot search out the full extent of God's greatness. You cannot find the limits of how great God is." We don't know David's circumstances when he wrote this psalm, but that's just the point. There is always reason to praise God, regardless of the circumstances in our life, regardless of what's going on, regardless if we're in a time of great joy or a time of great sorrow. Always there is reason to give praise to God because of who He is. He is a great God and greatly to be praised. And we're reminded here that, especially in those times when the circumstances of life seem so very great, so overwhelming, so big, that we belong to a God who is greater and bigger than all of them. He's the God who holds us in the hollow of His hand. And so we give thanks to Him. Well, David expands the call to praise in verses 4 through 7. "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." Here, David expands the call to praise God, no longer just himself, but now from one generation to the next. David is envisioning his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, praising God for who He is and for what He has done. And certainly that's the desire of our hearts as parents and grandparents. We long to see our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren singing praise to this great God. And David gives the reason for it there in verses 8 and 9. Why do we praise God? Why do we give Him thanks? Because the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. Here is David, likely as an old man, thinking upon his children, his grandchildren, praising God. And what does he want them to remember about God first and foremost? Well, it's simply this, that God is a gracious God. It's something we learn more and more as we go through life, as we are confronted more and more with our own sinfulness and our own wickedness, just how gracious God is to us. And we want our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to know that our God is a God to whom we can run, a God to whom we can flee, a God to whom we can go to time and time again, even when we sin, even when we've fallen, especially when we've fallen and we've sinned. David knew that. That God had treated him not as he deserved to be treated, but that God had treated him with grace and with mercy. And you notice the emphasis there at the end of verse 8, that God is a God who is slow to anger on the one hand. He doesn't get angry quickly, but he abounds in steadfast love. That's his disposition, to be a God of steadfast love to his people. I remember years ago talking with a member who had recently purchased an English Standard Version of the Bible. And one of the first things she had done with that ESV Bible was to go through the book of Psalms, and she took her highlighter and just highlighted every time she found the words, steadfast love. And one of the things that is wonderful about the ESV translation of the Bible is that it's consistent, especially in the book of Psalms, using that word of God's faithfulness, His covenant loyalty, His chesed in the Hebrew, translating it every time, steadfast love. And if you ever find yourself at that one of those points in life where you're doubting whether God loves you, whether God is still good to you, whether God is still gracious to you, here's a wonderful exercise. Get your highlighter. Go to the book of Psalms and highlight every time you find that phrase, steadfast love. God abounds in His steadfast love to His people. And that's reason to give Him thanks and to praise Him. Even in this day, whatever's going on in your life, maybe this morning you woke up and your heart is not very filled with thanksgiving or with gratitude. There are cares and concerns that weigh you down, and you feel burdened perhaps by relationships or a job situation or a financial situation or whatever it may be. Go through the Psalms and look at how steadfast God is in His love towards you. That's reason to give Him thanks. Well, David expands the call to praise and thank God beyond himself, beyond his generations, now in verses 10 and following. Look at verses 10 through 12. David writes there, "All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." And here, once again, we see an expansion of the call to praise, first from himself, then to his generations, now to all of God's works. David is here calling upon all of God's creation to praise him and give him thanks for the glory of his kingdom and its splendor. These are the central verses of this psalm, and we mentioned a moment ago that this psalm is written as an acrostic, each verse beginning with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And you come to these verses, and there's a beauty to them. The first letters of these verses actually spell out the Hebrew words, "My King." And that's the center of this psalm. David is calling us to praise God not only as the great King, but as my King. He's calling upon you to praise God as your King. And you see the reason for that at the beginning of verse 13. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." Certainly there were times in David's life, and certainly there are times in our life where it just seems like everything is getting out of control. Things happening in the world, things happening in our nation, things happening in our communities, and David is coming back to that central truth that is to ground us as God's people. God is our King, and He sits on the throne, and He's good, and He's faithful, and His love is steadfast. And so we have reason to give thanks to Him. And so this first half of this psalm, there are these repeated calls to praise God, followed by great reasons to praise Him. And now as we come to the second half of the psalm, beginning at the end of verse 13, that order is inverted. Now we're given reasons to praise God, and those reasons are followed by one last great call to praise God in verse 21. Let's look at the reasons briefly first. Verses 13b through 16. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. And here we are called to praise God because of His care over all creation, to praise Him as the creator of all things, and to praise Him as the provider of all things. And certainly for many of us today, we rejoice in God's good provision as we eat bountiful food today and drink, and we praise God for all of His goodness to us in that. And then David goes on to even more specific reasons to praise God in verses 17 through 20. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. David had given the reason of praising God because He is the creator and provider of all things, and now he calls us to praise God because of His care over us as His people. We praise Him because He is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. Righteousness is not only God's character, but it's the gift that He gives to us in Christ. And so we thank Him for that. We praise Him and thank Him because He's near to all who call on Him. We thank Him and praise Him because He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. We praise Him and thank Him because He preserves all who love Him. But all the wicked He will destroy. And David there is looking forward to that great and eternal day when all the redeemed of the Lord shall stand before Him, and all those who have rejected Him will be cast away. And it leads then David to give this last call to praise God in verse 21. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. David has just listed many reasons to praise God for His care over creation, for His special care over His people, and now he issues the last final call to praise God, calling not only upon himself to praise God, but he calls upon all flesh to bless God's holy name forever and ever. And so there has been a wonderful movement in Psalm 145, a psalm that begins with one individual praising God. And then as the psalm continues, more voices are added to that single voice. There's the voice of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Then there's the voice of all creation. And now finally at the end, the voice of all flesh praising God for who He is and what He has done. There's this great crescendo of praise moving from the beginning of Psalm 145 to the end. And that movement from the beginning to the end is a movement that reflects the movement of the entire book of Psalms. In fact, I think you could say that Psalm 145, verse 21, really serves as a one-verse introduction to the final collection of Psalms in the book of Psalms. Psalms 146 through 150 is a collection of Psalms that are known as the Great Doxology of the Psalter. The great giving of praise of the Psalter. And Psalm 145, verse 21, is the introduction into that. David has said, "My mouth will sing and speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his name forever and ever." How are we to do that? Well, Psalms 146 through 150 tell us how. This is the great collection of doxologies, the great collection of praises in the book of Psalms. You may be a bit familiar with the book of Psalms. If you are, you know there are five books in the Psalter. And each of those five books in the Psalter ends with a very short doxology. A couple of verses saying, "Praise God, praise the Lord, praise the God of Israel," and so on and so forth. But as we come to the end of the book of Psalms, we come to Psalms 146 through 150, and we find just this pouring on of praise to God for who He is and what He has done. If you have your Bibles open yet, just look at these final Psalms with me for a moment as we begin to bring things to a close this morning. Look at Psalm 146 through 150, and notice how each one of these Psalms begins with the words, "Praise the Lord," and ends with the words, "Praise the Lord." We see that in Psalm 146, we see it in 147, we see it in 148, we see it in 149, and we certainly see it in 150. In Hebrew, those words, "Praise the Lord," are the words, "Hallelujah." Literally, "Praise the Lord," or as we sometimes put it, "Hallelujah." Psalms 146 through 150 all begin and end with those same words, "Praise the Lord." In fact, if you have your Bibles open yet, look at Psalm 150. Psalm 150, the word "praise" is found in every single verse. This is the great ending of the book of Psalms. It's the great ending of the book of Psalms because it's the great ending of every believer. What is the great ending of every believer? Well, unending praise. Unending praise and thanksgiving to God. Heaven will be an eternal Thanksgiving day, where we rest from our labors and we feast in the presence of the Lamb. And we sing praises and thanksgiving to the great God of our salvation forever and ever. Heaven is the great and eternal doxology to God. There is, of course, no sorrow in heaven. There's no grief in heaven. There's no weeping in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. There's no fear in heaven. And so as we come to these final Psalms in the book of the Psalms, there is no sorrow. There's no grief. There's no weeping. There are no tears. There's no fear in these final Psalms. Everything is doxology and praise to God. These Psalms, you see, anticipate in glorious fashion all that has been accomplished for us and secured for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to read through the book of Psalms, you would find that most of the sad psalms, most of the psalms of lamentation, the psalms of weeping, the psalms of crying, are found predominantly in the first half of the book of Psalms. And as you make your way through the Psalms, and especially as you come to the second half, and certainly with these final psalms, you'll find that the psalms of lamentation, of weeping, of crying, of sorrow, increasingly give way to psalms of praise. From sorrow to joy, from fear to hope. That's the movement of the book of Psalms. And doxology, praise, thanksgiving to God, is the final word. It drowns out every other word. That's all you have at the end, is praise to God. It's a wonderful reminder to us as we look at the flow and the movement of the Psalter, and we think upon these things this morning. It's a wonderful thing to remember that throughout his pilgrimage here in this world for those 33 years, Jesus sang psalms. This was his songbook. These were songs that he was familiar with and songs that he sang. And he sang them as he moved from suffering to glory. And so we do too. For this is our pilgrimage as well, isn't it? From suffering to glory. Paul will speak of that in some of his letters, where he says things like Romans 8:18, these present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Or 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, where he says these light afflictions, these momentary afflictions, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is upon us. From suffering to glory. From sorrow to joy. From fear to hope. This is the movement of the Christian life. And it's a movement that we find in the book of Psalms. And so we sing these songs, even as Jesus did. But there's one more thing I would just have us consider briefly this morning on this Thanksgiving Day. It's not only that we sing these songs as Jesus sang them. We have a far more wonderful and comforting truth even than that. And it's simply this, that Jesus himself sings these songs with us. It's a wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, let me read just a couple of the verses, verses 10 through 12, and just draw your attention to one phrase at the end of verse 12. Hebrews 2, 10 through 12, it was fitting that he, speaking of Jesus, it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. You see the movement there, from suffering to glory. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That's why he's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. And it's that last phrase especially, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. This is what Jesus is saying. In the midst of the assembly of God's people, I will sing your praise. I remember one of my seminary professors, Edmund Clowney, saying on this verse, when we gather together in church, and we sing God's praises together, or to think of Jesus sharing the songbook with us. He's singing with us in the great assembly. Now, certainly, we are singing as the redeemed. He's singing as the Redeemer. But we sing together because together we glory in the work of his hands. Not just his work in creation, but even more than that, his work in redemption. Jesus sings with us. And so, as we think upon the work of Jesus' hands and the great end of what awaits us in glory as we sing his praises forever and ever, it's good for us. Wherever we may be at in the pilgrimage of this life, whether young or old, whether sorrowful or joyful, whether things are going well or things are going poorly, it's good for us on this Thanksgiving Day to turn our attention to the Psalms. Because whatever's going on, we may speak the praise of the Lord. It's what we were created for. It's what we've been redeemed for. And it's what we will do forever and ever in God's presence. And so while this book is indeed an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, recording every emotion known to mankind, be comforted by this, that what fills our souls for all eternity is nothing but praise and thanksgiving to God. How thankful we can be that because of Jesus Christ, we can begin that song already now. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh Lord our God, we are so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for all that he has done for us. So thankful that he rejoices to sing with us. We sing as the redeemed, he sings as the redeemer, as together we glory in the great gift of salvation. And so, Lord, while we give thanks to you for so many things today, we thank you above all for saving us and for the great salvation that you have given to us in Jesus. Fill our hearts then with peace and joy. Fill them with gratitude. And make us a singing people, a people that loves to give glory and honor and praise to you, the great God of our salvation, not just today on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.